Greetings to all the alumni. It's Hanukkah. Today I'd like to speak about a few questions. Famous questions, but I'd like to discuss them and maybe we'll establish an important yesod. The first question is the second most famous question on Hanukkah, besides for the Beis Yosef's question, which is, why is it that we know that the Yevanim found the tar oil hidden with the seal of the Kohen Gadol? The question is, why was that necessary? After all, we know there's a famous halacha that says Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, which means that if the majority of the tzibur is tamei, so then they are allowed to use tamei oil. So why was it necessary then for them to search so hard, and why was it such a miracle, in fact, that they found it? Because they could have really used the tamei oil. So why was it so significant that they found it? That's the first question. Second question is that we find brought down in different Maamar Chazal that the Yevanim, when they were fighting when they were making gzeiros on the Jews, besides of course being gozer on the Torah, they were gozer on three particular mitzvos. Those three mitzvos, of course, were Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. We want to understand why these things. What do these three things? How do they symbolize that which the Yevanim contradicted and fought and clashed together with Klal Yisrael? Final question is the timing of Hanukkah. We of course all know Hanukkah is Chafei Kislev. It's Chanu Chafei. Hanukkah is always well known. But perhaps we can find a little bit deeper of what's going on in Chafei Kislev. We'll start with the third question last. The Maharal says a very interesting thing about Chafei Kislev. He says that we know there's a machlokas in the Gemara when the world was created, whether it was created in Tishrei or in Nisan. We hold that it was created in Tishrei. But he says, so when was the world really created? Really, the first point of creation would not have been Rosh Chodesh Tishrei or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but it really would have been Chof Hei El, 6 days before, or Chof Hei Adar, 6 days before Nisan. So he says, so if you'll take a calendar and you'll chart it out, you'll see that Chof Hei Elul is in Chof Hei Adar exactly in the middle of that, 3 months later, is Chof Hei Kislev. What's on Chof Hei Kislev? What's going on? Chof Hei Kislev is exactly in the middle. Okay, so it's right in the middle. Why is that significant? The Maharal explains beautifully. He says, we know that there are, of course, different seasons. There's a cycle of the sun and the moon and everything, and the seasons get, the spring it starts getting lighter and lighter and lighter, and then the summer is very light, and then fall starts getting darker, and then it goes very dark into the winter, and then it starts to peak again. There's this moment, there's this time when it starts, when the light starts to come. When is that? Says the Maharal, it's exactly, this is when the seasons go, Chafei Tishrei to Chafei Kislev. So Chafei Kislev is exactly when the light starts to increase. So besides for, of course, being the time when the Bnei Yisrael conquered the Yevanim, and therefore when we celebrate Hanukkah, besides for that, or maybe because of that, it was a very auspicious time that that's when the Yidden did it, because that's exactly the beginning of the light. It's the start of the light. It's when the light starts to increase. In fact, you'll find on this year's calendar, if you'll take a look, that the Shabbos of Hanukkah is the first Shabbos that's a little bit later. You know, it goes down till 4:18, 4:11, 4:09, and then it starts turning up. And you'll see that the Shabbos of Hanukkah is the first Shabbos when the Shkia gets a little bit later. That light starts to increase. It's that first sign of spring coming. I know one woman who looks forward to that date very, very, very much, and she's always looking for when is that first Shabbos that it makes the curve that everything's going to start getting lighter again. So that's what Chofei Kislev is. Now, going with that concept, that that's the beginning, let's go a little bit into another idea. That Chanukah, of course, we know Chanukah comes from the word Chinuch. It was the Chanukah Sabayis, the Chanukah Samanor, the Chanukah Samizbeach. It was the inauguration. It was the beginning of it. And that beginning was on Chanukah. And I'd like to take a few minutes now to discuss a little bit the concepts, some certain concepts in Chinuch, and then we'll apply it back to Chanukah. There's a very interesting Gemara Tosfos in Chagiga on Daf Tezvav Amar Aleph. Tosfos in Chagiga on Tezvav Amar Aleph deals with a very famous or perhaps infamous character named Elisha ben Avuya, otherwise known as Acher. Acher, as we are probably familiar, was a great Tana, who unfortunately he was nichnas lepardes. He went into Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him in to see certain things, and he went off to derech. He ended up going off to derech, and it was a very sad situation that he went off to derech and he left Yiddishkeit. That's the story of Acher. Tosfos in Chagiga deals with why, what happened to Acher, that. Made him go off the derech. Well, not made him go off the derech, but what was wrong? So he says a very interesting thing. He says it goes back to Acher's bris. It goes back to his bris. That at his bris, it says that his father, apparently a wealthy man, invited all of the people in Yerushalayim, and when he invited them, he made a great party, and when they were waiting, while they were waiting for the bris to happen, so there were two Tanoim, Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Yoshua, who said, okay, while they're sitting and schmoozing, everybody else is waiting and they're sitting and schmoozing, we'll go do our thing, we're going to go sit and learn. And while they were sitting and learning, a fire encircled them. Acher's father, I guess Avuya, came over and he says, what's going on? What are you trying to do? Burn down my house? And so they said, no, we're learning. And when we learn sometimes, and just like the Torah was given at Har Sinai with the fire, so too when we learn sometimes there's a fire. Oh, Avuya was amazed by this, and he says, if that's the power of Torah, then I want my son to be set aside for Torah. If he'll be Niskayim, I'm going to set him aside to learn Torah. And that's what he did, and he set him aside, and he went and he learned and he became great, but then eventually it was missing. This was missing because of this. Because it wasn't done properly, it wasn't done for the right reasons. Avuya was interested in this only because of the wow, the unbelievable, you know, the fire that was around it. Not because it was the right thing to do, but because of that, because it wasn't done for the proper reasons. I once heard a very interesting question. I believe it was from the Altar of Kelm, though perhaps might have been from the Altar of Slobodka, that he asked a very profound question, which is that we all know, you know, that there's a rule that a person should always do mitzvah shalol lishma, shemitah shalol lishma, b'al lishma. A person does a mitzvah shalol lishma, it's good. If he learns shalol lishma, he doesn't really want to learn, but he learns just because he'll he wants a little more covered, his friends will look up to him a little more, so okay, it wasn't the best, that's not the real reason to learn, but mitoch shalol lishma, bo lishma, we encourage that, and we tell you learn anyway, and we'll give out prizes to kids, and sometimes kids, guys and landers will give out prizes for lots of different things to, you know, learn after Night Seder, and learn after Maariv, and learn on Shabbos, and, you know, we'll give out prizes, that's why they should learn, of course not, but mitoch shalol lishma, bo lishma. So, question is then, why was it so bad? What was so bad about what Avuya did? Okay, so he committed his son to learning, and he did it because of the amazing scene that he witnessed, and because it was a little bit shalol lishma, he was, wow, I wish my son could create a fire while he's, you know, talking. You know, that's amazing. So, Why? What was so bad that he had to go totally off the other way? The answer given is very important. The answer given is that when it comes to chinuch, when it comes to educating a child, we can't do that shalol lishma. Every other mitzvah we do shalol lishma, but we can't educate a child shalol lishma. I'll illustrate with a story that I like to tell. Those guys who used to be in my shul probably remember the story. Yeah, there was once a yid who started a business, a very successful business, a very early yid. So he decided he wants, with his money, to provide for all of his sons and daughters, and, you know, all of his sons, to go and sit and learn, and he'll support them. He had enough money to support them, and he was very excited about this. And he told his sons that he sent them off to yeshiva. He says, go learn, and just keep learning, and you're learning kol, and I'll take care of you. And they all went off to yeshiva, and the oldest son went off to yeshiva, and he learned shtarik, and he was good. He was, I don't know, 20, 25, whatever, he learned. And then comes to his father, and he says, I think I'd like to join the family business. I don't sense that it's the right thing for me to stay in learning. I'd like to join the family business. So the father wasn't going to force him. He said, of course, if that's what you feel, you'll feel better. So he says, fine, are you sure? Because I'll pay for it. If you're worried about the money, I'm happy to pay the money. No. I'd like to join the family business. Fine. So the father allows him to join the family business. And then the second son comes of age. Same thing happens. He comes, he learns, but then he reaches a point and he says, you know, father, I'd like to join the family business. And then every single son, until the final son, including the final son, they all come to him and say, they all join the family business. Father was a little bit disheartened. He went to his Rebbe, and he said, why? Why did this happen? I don't understand. I told them when they were 14, you know, that you guys can sit and learn, I'll take care of you. So the Rebbe said, I don't know exactly why each son chose different things, but I'll tell you something that I noticed. I was in your house for a Shabbos, and what happened was that on Friday night, the small child, I don't know how old he was exactly, a small child ran into the room, and he flipped on the lights. And everybody said to him, well, it's Shabbos, you can't turn on the lights. Kid was, you know, a little bit embarrassed, and he left, fine. Then, the next day, very same kid, apparently a boisterous kid, was running around. It was Shabbos, and they had to find china out. He knocked into the table, and one of the china plates flew off the table and broke. And then everybody started yelling at him, what are you doing? You broke the plate. You broke the china. How could you do that? What are you doing running around like that? And they all let him have it, and his father, and his mother, and his Zaydi, everybody yelled at him. So the Rebbe said, so I saw that it seemed that there was, you know, that subtle lesson of chinuch, that, you know, when the light gets turned on Shabbos, they're less concerned. Oh, you shouldn't turn on the light on Shabbos. They told him he's not turned on the light on Shabbos, but it wasn't a big deal. When he broke the china plate, so you said they were the air in the house, the chinuch was that, you know, there was a great chashivas to the money, and that's why all the sons, as much as they might have felt that they could have been supported, but they also wanted to feel that ashirus, and so therefore they all, as they came of age, they decided not to. That's a story to illustrate that the chinuch, you know, even though again, you know, the chinuch has to be lishma. And just to explain a little bit, I think it needs an explanation. We said it as a fact that, okay, chinuch can't be shalol lishma, but why not? Why can't chinuch be shalol lishma? The answer is because chinuch is really the foundation. It's really the foundation. It's the value system that a child attains. And if that's what the and so that That can't be faulty. Once there's a foundation and you want to build something on it, so you can build and then you can strengthen it and then it can be shalom lishma and it won't be so strong, but we'll fix it with something else. But if the thing itself, if the whole foundation of it has a problem, so then eventually, it might be a long time. Talk shalom lishma, you know, it might be a long time, as we find by Acher. Acher first became a great Tana, and he was, when Nichnas Lepardes, he was all the way up, you know, the highest levels of what a Talmud Chacham could become. But still, since all the way deep down in that foundation, there was something wrong with that foundation, eventually the foundation, the crack in the foundation, was going to reveal and the whole thing crumbled, as in fact happened by Acher. That's the pshat behind why Chinuch is different, because Chinuch is more than just a mitzvah. It's not one particular mitzvah, but it's the whole groundwork, it's the whole foundation for a child and for a person to develop. That's the first part, and that's of course why we understand. We'll go back to that. Going a little bit deeper, though, it's interesting to try to understand the battle between the Yevanim and the Bnei Yisrael. And to understand, like we said before, these three things, Shabbos, Milah, and Rosh Chodesh. And I think that the pshat is the following, that what we see by these things, let's talk first about Milah. So Milah, of course, we know, is that the Yevanim believed in the Guf. You know, the Olympics are coming. And they believed in letting the Guf attain the highest Madrega that's possible. And we of course believe in Kedusha, in the Torah. So that's Milah, is that they believed in the Buddha. You can't change the body. The body is the best thing. Why are you changing the body? And we know the Torah says change the body. And Shabbos is a similar theme, but we'll discuss how they all really tie in. I want to discuss particularly Rosh Chodesh. What's Rosh Chodesh? It seems like such an innocuous mitzvah for us. It's not, you know, we have Halo, but we don't. It's not a major theme in our avoda. You know, Shabbos and Milah, of course, are. What's so significant about Rosh Chodesh over here? And I think that all these things have the same idea that we're talking about. That they all have this first instant, that all of these mitzvahs have the first, like we're talking by Hanukkah, that first ray of light. Milah, of course, it's the first mitzvah the child does, that's when he gets his name. And I think what happens is, you know, as we know this is what happens, that's when the child gets his neshama. And that's the same thing by Rosh Chodesh and by Shabbos also. On Shabbos also, what do we have? We have that on Shabbos we get a neshama yisera. And on Rosh Chodesh, what are we really saying? What we're really saying Rosh Chodesh is we're celebrating Rosh Chodesh on the first day of the month. Why? Nothing good happened yet. The Yevanim would probably say we have to wait to see what becomes of it. Let's, you know, maybe we'll celebrate at the end of the month. We'll have a closing ceremonies, if you will, to celebrate the month. But at the beginning of a month, how do you know the month is going to be anything? It's only what the guf is able to, you know, what the guf can become, right? But the bris milah, they laugh. Well, what's it's a little baby. Well, how's there anything great about a little baby? What? Oh, if he'll become a great warrior, if he'll become a great athlete, then we'll celebrate. But right now we won't celebrate like that. And so, the idea is that Klal Yisrael believes that the neshama is put in right away, and if the neshama is put in right away, that's already a great deal. That is a great simcha. As soon as a baby is born and there's a bris milah, that is a tremendous simcha. Why is it such a tremendous simcha? Because the baby has a neshama. What will become of the baby? Of course, we aspire that the baby will be able to pull out whatever he can out of his neshama and attain all the high levels that we hope that he'll attain. But already right then, it's valuable. To the Yevanim, this is not valuable, this is nothing until it can accomplish something. Rosh Chodesh, The same thing. Is the Rosh Chodesh significant by itself? Yes, yes, it is. It's already the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's already a new moon. There's already there's already something going on, and that's already there's a neshama. There's a spirit to the month, and now we're able to bring it out. And now, in light of what we said before, now we can understand the first question of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. What's Pshat of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? So the answer is that yes, Al Pi Halacha would have been sufficient to use Tamei oil. But because of what we're saying here, that when it comes to Chinuch, when it comes to that first drop of Chinuch, that first foundation has to be pure. It has to be pure, it has to be lishma, it has to be done properly, it has to be tahar. It has to be tahar. That's what chinuch of our children is. Something, you know, besides for lesson of Chanukah, on a practical level, you know, I assume alumni are all having children, Mr. Hashem, soon. And you know, it's something that we have to think about. The time for to think about chinuch is not when the child does something wrong when he's 12 years old. The time to think about chinuch is, you know, by the bris, or perhaps before then. It's already time to think about what do we want from this child, where do we want it to go, and what do we want it to become. And then that's why the oil that they found had to be tahar oil, that they'd be able to do that, because Klal Yisrael values that. You know, we know there's a famous Maimon Chazal that says, Ein mevatlin tinokos shel beis rabin afilu lebini beis hamikdash. That even if we were able to build a beis hamikdash, we got the makom mikdash, and everybody became tar, the tinokos shel beis rabin, the little yeshiva boys, would still be going to yeshiva. It's an unbelievable thing. That sounds like the kol guys would all leave yeshiva. They would all go straight to help build the beis hamikdash, but the yeshiva boys would have to stay. That shows us an incredible thing, that in a certain sense, this, because of this fact that the neshama is there in the beginning, and that's why they learn. That's why the minhag always was that they learned Parshas Vayikra first. That there's a certain tahara to the learning that children do, right? In other words, by a basketball game, if we see 6-year-olds playing basketball, we say, okay, maybe one day they'll be good. Right now, we just grimace while they throw the ball towards the hoop. But one day they'll be good, and then this will be the practice. But when it comes to learning Torah, in a certain sense, there's a certain truth to the fact that there is something that a certain six-year-old, there's a certain kedusha of itahara as he sits and learns that we don't have by a grown adult, and that's why I feel a little binyan beis hamikdash. We do not mavato that, and that's what I think. There's a certain sense the argument between the Yevanim and the Bnei Yisrael, that the Yevanim said no, it's only what happens at the end, and the Yidden said no. What's precious is really what happens right in the beginning. Right in the beginning, the neshama of the thing is put in, the foundations of the thing are put in, and that's what we have to fortify. And we hope, Yirtz Hashem, that we should be zochet to this Maimon Chazal, that we should not be mevatel the Tinokos Shel Beis Rabim, we should be zochet to the Binyan Bais. I'm here with you, I mean.